Amen. I was trying to get a head count for the sermon on this evening. A man's willingness to be a man. A man's willingness to be a man. As we look amongst the congregation, it was said 6 years ago when one of our friends came down to worship with us, or came up to worship with us. We had five men, and we still do up until this day, five men standing behind the table getting ready to serve the Lord's Supper. She said, "You all have more men around the table than we do in the congregation where I worship." And that is not a very good thing to say. And the reason I say that is because we have men that are not willing to be men. We have men that are not willing to do what God wants them to do and to be able to assemble within the body to work the way God wants them to work. There was a survey taken years ago about church attendance, and it says that it is typically 61% female and 39% male. Now, with all the men that we have here at this moment, there are still more women. There are still more women. And the men that we have, they are willing to work. The women we have, they are willing to work, but we are still, my brothers, we're still outnumbered. So we have to be careful. We have to continue to do the things that are right. We have to continue to stand up for the truth. We have to not only continue to do what is right before God within this congregation, but we have to be men in our homes. We have to teach our sons, we have to teach our daughters the importance of being a God-fearing person. And not only do we teach them by words, but we teach them by action. In the midweek attendance, it is typically 70 to 80% female. Why do men attend? And I don't think that this is holds true to this congregation, by no means. It says many men who do attend admit to attending to in order to please their mothers, their wives, or their girlfriends. Brother Lewis, that's not true, is it? Not here. Very good. Brother Mark, that's not true here, is it? Brother Malachi, that's not true, is it? Gotta love Brother Malachi. I'm gonna get this right one way or another. Regardless of what someone else says, the reason we should be here right now is to please one person and one person only. That's God. That is God. We need men. We need men to be willing to be a man. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means this, that there are some things that we are going to be called to do, and we have to be willing to do them. There are some things that we do that we may not too much really care to do, but we still need to do them. We have four elders here. You think that the elders, when one stand up here, or when they have gotten together in their meeting, and they says, you know, according to Scripture, this person is not living the way God wants them to live, and we need to exercise church discipline on them. You think they're happy to do that? No. Happy to carry out God's word, but it saddens a congregation to exercise church discipline on anybody. On anybody. The church discipline is not designed to push anybody out. It's designed to bring people back in. That's why God disciplines us. He disciplines us in order to get us in line. When we think about the Word of God, we need to be happy that it says all that it says, whether it's good, we like it, or whether it's bad and we don't like it. We need to accept God's Word as being truth and be willing to do what it says. We need men to be willing to be a man. We find in the scriptures in the book of Isaiah, and the chapter is 6. Isaiah in the chapter is 6, and the verse is 8. We need men that are willing to be available. Men to be willing to be available. What does that really mean, to be available? If someone calls upon you to do something, make yourself available. Make time to do those things. When there's something that needs to be done, have yourself. You know, you ever seen that line of people standing across looking for a volunteer? And everybody has already gotten together and know about this except for that one person that was asleep. And when they ask for a volunteer, I want everybody, and they say take one step forward, and I want the person that's volunteering to do that, everybody else take one step backwards, and that one man is just standing there. He really didn't make himself available, did he? He really didn't do the things that he was supposed to do. He really wasn't willing to be a man because he was asleep on the job. But I want us to realize, just like I was sleeping, but I'm awake now. We need men to be as Isaiah was. When the Lord was looking for somebody, Isaiah made himself available. But there are many times where we do not want to be available. We do not want to be pointed out. We do not want to be selected for anything. But we want to be back in the shadows doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. Isaiah wasn't that type of man. The Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 6 and the verses 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." There are so many things that the elders hear back there in the back of the room. And as the elders hear those things, I am standing there ear hustling and I hear them as well. We have a couple of men in here. As a matter of fact, we have three or four actually that will say, "Hey, if anybody is not available to do the devotion, I'm willing to do it. If anybody is not willing to pray, I'm willing to do it. Or to lead songs, I'm willing to do it." We have men like that. They're ready to work for the Lord. They're ready to do the things that are right before Him. They're making themselves available. And then we have that certain few that are like, "Don't ask me to do nothing because I'm not going to do anything." He's not willing to be a man. He's not willing to own up to his responsibility or his commitment. We need men to be committed to doing the work of the Lord. So let's examine this and let's think about it. Let's know what God wants us to do and let's do those things. We need men. As I've stated before, one of the brothers, he used to teach and he still does, a message on being faithful. And I've told you that one of the brothers in the congregation and some of the others said, "We're tired of you preaching about being faithful." So what he did is he asked another brother, "You give me another name for being faithful." And he said, "Dependable." He said, "All right, let's talk about dependability. Let's talk about being able for someone to depend on you." That's what we need. We need men that are not afraid of what God's word says, that they're willing to be faithful. If you want to say dependable, say whatever you want to, just be willing to do what is right and someone being able to count on you. There was a young man, he obeyed the gospel, and one of the brothers said, he is undependable. You cannot depend upon him for anything. He's always late. And I asked the young man a question. I said, "Oh, you're late on your job?" I already knew the answer. Yes. See, many of y'all would have said, "No, he's not late to his job because we have no way we're going to be late." So that was just him. He was slow. Wasn't getting in a hurry for nobody, for nothing. But I believe that people can learn what they need to do. And they can change. You may not be able to depend on that person to be here on time, so therefore you have to find someone else to replace them on the roster that's out there. So what we need is we need men to say, "Hey," on Wednesday night, they look at the roster and they say, I have this, I have that, and I'm going to be on time. I'm not going to allow those men to work the doors back there to wonder, am I going to be here? Am I going to be on time and to be able to do the things that are right before God? So therefore, we need to understand that we need to be dependable. There was a preacher. I got a phone call one Sunday morning. And they asked me, they said, can you preach today? The preacher is nowhere to be found. And I wasn't there because I had drill training, reserve training, so I wasn't there. And I had to break it down to him. And you should already know why I'm not there. Otherwise, I would have been there, and I would have been willing to get up and preach that morning. But that individual, on that morning, they were looking for him. And they looked for him through the week, and they finally found him. But at that moment, he was undependable. You could not depend upon him. And I believe that when something happens to us, we need to make that phone call and let people know our situation. As Sister Linda came in and said, Mom and Daddy, they're stuck in traffic. It's raining hard and they're stuck in traffic. They're not going to be able to make it. She had to get a phone call from somebody. What if Brother Pack was supposed to do something this evening and he didn't call anybody? What would we have been wondering? Where is he at? Where is he at? Brother Shelton was running a little late this morning, this afternoon, but he was running late for a reason. He was taking care of family business. But what if he wasn't taking care of family business and he just didn't show up? That would have been two of our elders that we would not be able to depend upon. But these men are elders of this congregation, so therefore we can depend upon them. And we have to think about that. Even within our own lives, we have to be dependable. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the chapters 4 and the verses 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse is 2. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, and we're going to go down a little bit further. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, this is how one should regard us. This is Paul writing now, talking about the apostles as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. You do something wrong, God is going to point it out to you. If done things right, God is going to point them out to you. But what Paul is saying there in verse 2 again, he says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. They be found dependable. Faithful, dependable, reliable. One, being able to, you're saying, I'm going to account for my actions and I'm accountable for everything that I do and I'm standing there knowing what I've done, realizing that God is looking at me, realizing that others are, counting on me to make the right decisions, do the right thing. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Do we have men here that are faithful? Paul says this reference to men that are faithful. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at there for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe the verse is 2. He says, verse 1 and 2, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not the things of man, but the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Isn't that something that we need to think about? How can you learn the truth, or how can you hear the truth and not be here? How can someone depend upon you if you're not here? How can we teach someone God's word and say he's faithful and he's not here? But those that are faithful, those that we can depend upon, we teach them the truth concerning God's word. And we give them some responsibility as far as teaching and preaching the truth. And there is a reason for this. And the reason is this, that we need men. We need a man to be willing to be active. To be active on your job. How many of you can go on your job and just stand there and do nothing? And the man walked by you one time and he said, well, maybe he's taking care of something else. Maybe he's thinking about what he needs to do. But then when he walked by you the second, you haven't moved from that spot. You're still doing nothing. How many of you think he's just going to walk by you and not say anything? I believe that the man is going to say something. And I believe what that man is going to tell you is that you need to get busy. Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? See, we need men because God is looking. He is looking at us and he is saying, why have you not done these things? And there's a mark against you. Why have you not done that? And there's another mark against you. And it comes out and it turns out that the reason that people do not do what they're supposed to do in many cases is because not that they don't know, not that they have done enough, but they are just lazy. They're just lazy. But we need men to be active. We need men to be willing to go out there in the fields and teach people the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says there in Mark chapter 16 and the verse is 15. We become children of God. He doesn't tell us, now that you are one of my children, you just sit there and let somebody else do the work. You see, we like to allow someone else to do the work and we get credit for it. See, there's going to be a time on your job where you have allowed someone else to do the work for you and that person happens to get sick or that person, you know, actually removes or goes to another job and now you're supposed to do it and the man walked by and he said, why do we not get the parts that we've been getting? You have been a good soldier. You have been a good employee for all these years, but now you're not doing anything. You're going to have to break down and tell him it wasn't me that was doing the work. It was Sally. She did it all for me. It was Jim. He did it all for me. What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to say, okay, come on, let me retrain you? He's going to tell you, you need to go where they went. Let them work for you over there. I believe we need to consider the word of God. We all have a responsibility. This is the Great Commission right here. Mark chapter 16 and the verse is 15. And he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He said, well, right there, it's just telling us, you know, telling his apostles, telling his disciples what they need to do. Let's back up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I believe we can probably get a better understanding right here from Matthew chapter 28 in the verses 19. Where he tells them, he says, go therefore. It's the same commission. It's just a different account. This is Matthew's account. And not Mark's. But he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We have a command to go. And we have a command to make disciples. And you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying we have a command. Well, he wasn't talking to us right there, was he? No, he wasn't. But keep reading. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He's telling them still what to do. That is for them. But keep reading. He says, teaching them. Whoa. You have gone. You have taught them. You have baptized them. And he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, what are we commanded to do then? If we have truly been taught the right way, we're commanded to go and make disciples of all nations. We teach the people we come in contact with. And as we teach them, we have the opportunity to baptize them as they are willing to be obedient unto the gospel. You can't baptize somebody if they're not willing to be baptized. You ever tried to put somebody in the water and they don't want to be in the water? You ever tried to bathe a cat? Cats don't like water. At least most of them don't. You got that ignorant cat that likes water. Or that cat that's not really, don't really have it all. And you're like, what's wrong with that cat? He thinks he's a fish or a dog. And he loves the water. He's confused. But we need men to go out and teach the gospel so that people may say, I too want to become part of God's church or God's family. We want people to be obedient unto the gospel. We want someone to ask that question as they did in Acts chapter 2. When you teach them the gospel and they're pricked in their hearts and they say, men and brethren, what shall I do? What do I need to do in order to become part of the God's family? What do I need to do? When a man wants to be a man, let's not, you know, deny him that. Let's not say something to cause him to second think himself. But let's allow him to be a man, to be obedient unto the gospel and to be available. Let's not tell someone, oh, you can't do that. Let's tell someone, no, yes, you're here all the time, but we don't need you to work. We have someone else to work. No, let's work them because that's what God wants them to do. And that's what they need to do. And those people, those men that are willing to go out and be active and knock doors to teach Bible class, let's allow them to do those things because we need men to be men. And then last, we need to understand as we think about this, we need men that are stable. We need men that are stable. A man that is unstable, you cannot depend upon him. He's not going to go, and if he go, he may teach something else. There was a sister telling us one time that she was sitting there with her friend, and they were talking about the gospel, and she wanted this man that was supposed to be a preacher of God's word, to tell her friend what she needed to do in order to become a member of the Lord's church. She said he told her everything but that. That man, he had become unstable. And yes, my brothers and sisters, we have preachers that lose their minds from time to time. And when that individual loses his mind, He's not dependable any longer. You cannot put someone in front of him and say, teach them God's word. Yes, his mind may be here one moment, but it may leave the next. A double-minded man, the Bible tells us, is unstable in all of his ways. You cannot depend upon him. He is not going to be available when you need him to be available, and he's not really going to be as active as he needs to be. So we need men that are stable. Look what the scripture says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the verse is 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the verse is 8. It's important that we realize this. We have men that are willing to do what they're supposed to and be willing to teach the truth concerning God's word. No matter who asks them, no matter where they are, they're willing to say, this is what you need to do right here. And they point them to the scriptures. And as they point them to the scriptures, people are saying, I am that person that God wants me to be. And I'm willing to be a man because this is what God desires. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse is 8. So, chapter 3, verse 8. For now we live, if we are standing fast in the Lord. Standing fast in the Lord. What does that really mean? You know, your feet are planted on solid ground. You're willing to allow someone to come to you and ask you questions reference to God's word, and you're not going to be wishy-washy. You're willing to stand up to your family and tell your family there is but one God and there is only one way that you're going to be able to see him, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means this, that as I am standing firm on God's word, as I am being active in doing the things that God wants me to do, as I am being dependable as God wants me to be, as I am being available, I am going to tell men and women the truth concerning salvation. What is that? What is the truth concerning salvation? Well, as it has been taught throughout the scriptures, according to the word of God, according to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that a man, in order to become part of the family of God, must have his sins washed away. He must put Christ on through baptism. He must understand that he is not being added to or joining any denomination or group. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. The message that was preached on the day of Pentecost, these individuals that had crucified Jesus Christ, Peter preached unto them the message because Peter was available. Peter was dependable. Peter was active, and Peter was stable. Well, there was a time where Peter wasn't stable, right? That time when he denied Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know him. Oh, no, not me. And by the third time, he began to curse. He wasn't stable at that time. But Jesus says, when you are converted, feed my sheep. Here Peter stands before the people on the day of Pentecost. And this is the end of the message in which he preached unto them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this same Jesus whom you crucified. Not another. The same Jesus that you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. He's no longer in the tomb. He is alive. He has ascended into heaven to sit upon the right hand of the Father. The Bible tells us that these men on that day, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? One version say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, the message is the same today. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need this message to continue to be taught today. We need men that are willing to go out there into the fields and teach this message. When the question is asked, what must I do in order to be saved? Let's not tell them there's nothing that you need to do. Jesus has already done it all. Yes, he was crucified for the sins of the world, but we still need to give an account for our sins. We still need to ask for forgiveness for our sins. Those people on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us there in the book of Acts chapter 2 and the verses 40, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, from this crooked generation, from these wicked people. Save yourselves. Watch out, it's hot right there. What are you going to do? You're going to watch your step. Don't touch that, it's hot. What are you going to do? You're going to draw your hand back. But then some of us really don't care, do we? Or we're curious and we say, oh, is it really hot? And you go that way. Oh, is that stove really hot? And you're going to touch it. Well, here Peter told these people to save themselves from this untoward generation. You know how many were saved on that day? The Bible says about 3,000 there in verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added added that day about 3,000 souls. What happened to the rest? The rest wasn't ready yet. The rest needed to touch that stove to see was it really hot. They needed to understand that God's word was true. They needed something else to convince them. And we know later there were many others that were baptized, and there are still men and women hearing the word of God today that are being baptized, being added to the body of Christ, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. They'll put Christ on, as the Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 3, verse 47. As many of us has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's nothing like a suit of clothes laying on a bed, except for that suit of clothes on a man's back. No one's ever going to see him laying on that bed, right? But when you put them on your back, you think you're clean, you think you're sharp, and you're walking before the people, and people are noticing. See, it's nothing like hearing God's word, except for doing God's word. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. Why? Because faith without works is dead. And we need to be obedient unto the gospel. We need to do the things that God is pleased with. If you're here this evening and you are a man of God, if you are a person that calls yourself a Christian, but yet you have not done the things that are right, get it right. Get it right. Ask God to forgive you for your sins, and he will. The Bible teaches that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He's just to forgive us of all unrighteousness if we confess them to him. If he confessed them to him. How does people know if you're hungry or not, if you don't tell them? How do they know if you're thirsty, if you don't tell them? How will someone know that you have done wrong and you want forgiveness if you don't acknowledge and ask for it? If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, the opportunity is yours to come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave with baptism. Do as you find in Scripture, not what you have heard from some man. Just pray to God and you can become one of his children. Oh, I don't. You want me to give you the right hand of fellowship and we baptize you 2 or 3 months down the road? That's not in Scripture. Want me to lay my hands on you that you may become a child of God? That's not in Scripture. Oh, you just going to pray for yourself? Oh, no. That's most definitely not in Scripture to obtain salvation. So we need to get our lives right with God, God's way. So if you're here and you want to become one of his children, we ask that you come forth this evening as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.